Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Talking right now to our guy, Matt Maiocco, who has been covering the San Francisco 49ers for a long, long time. One of the absolute best talking all things 49ers. You can give him a follow on the X app at Maiocco MBCS. Year number 31, my friend. So you've been around the block, one of the absolute best to talk to. So these questions that I'm about to get into is kind of interesting and really the meat of why I wanted to talk to you here. We're two off seasons in here with Adam Peters being the lead guy. It's a lot different being in this role, right, compared to what he was – you know, tasked with doing in San Francisco over the past several seasons before coming to Washington. And just, I'll never forget, Matt, going back to when the signing was first announced, and give you some context, man. I'm a 27-year-old Commanders fan, so I haven't seen any of our success. Last year was, you know, tremendous for me as a fan. And then seeing what Adam and Dan Quinn were able to put together, man, when he was, you know, first on the market and available, just to think that we can get a talent evaluator of his caliber, someone that comes from one of these tremendous, you know, front office trees. It was definitely a big deal for us here locally. And just keeping it transparent, Matt, through the first two off seasons here, I think some folks are feeling like there's, you know, even after the magic of year one, people are kind of looking at the long-term direction of this thing and going, okay, where is the young influx of talent? Where are the draft hits that we saw all throughout his time in San Francisco? Just if you can, Matt, explain to your best of your ability, you know, what his role was during the draft process in San Francisco and how instrumental was he in putting, you know, that group together, helping put that group together.
Yeah, no, I think he was very instrumental in putting it together. I mean, he kind of ran, in a lot of ways, ran the draft, you know, did a lot of the legwork, and, you know, he's a grinder. He's a scout. He likes to get out there and visit campuses and go to games and get an idea of what's out there. And then, you know, obviously John Lynch as the general manager would have final say in the direction that they would go with each particular draft pick. But, you know, when John Lynch was hired to be the general manager of the Niners, you know, his first move, actually he had two of them. You know, he wanted to bring in Martin Mayhew, who had experience as a general manager. And then he wanted to bring in Adam Peters, with whom he worked a little bit. There were some off seasons, or actually, you know, leading up to drafts, where John would do some work with the Denver Broncos, and he was basically paired with Adam Peters. So those guys got to know each other pretty well, and they worked well together. And when John got this job, John Elway was kind enough to allow Adam Peters to come with John Lynch to the 49ers. So, you know, I think what the kind of the thumbnail on Adam Peters is, was that he was a really good scout, good talent evaluator, smart guy. But I think kind of the final box that he had to check was to convince a team that he could be, you know, the lead guy, the guy in front of the room, kind of general manager and someone who could run an organization. You know, from the outside looking in, it certainly appeared like they made the right decisions a year ago in getting that team in year one to the NFC Championship game and having, you know, Jaden Daniels and selecting him and making all the pieces fit. You know, this year's been a struggle.
It's been challenging when you're injured like we've been, yeah. They've been pretty injured, so.
Yeah, and I mean, that's all teams have to deal with that. And so now, you know, it's a matter of, let's see what, you know, these you know, these draft picks do. You know, he's had two drafts now. And so it's a matter of working with the coaching staff, getting the right guys and seeing them develop. So I know they didn't have a whole lot of picks this year. So we'll see how this all turns out. But, I know they have some guys who really stepped up, and both, two guys that I can think of offensively right now are dealing with injuries. So they're not helping at all with Jaden Daniels and Luke McCaffrey being out. But I'd say give it a little time. I know nobody wants to hear that year two when you're 3-7, but I think he's the right guy for that job as far as building the roster. It's not an overnight thing. And you know what? The success probably came a little bit too early.
Yeah. And it could change the expectations. And I think that's kind of where folks are with this group right now. I think you hit it right on the head. You may have peaked too soon. Hopefully it wasn't a peak is what I will say. Hopefully they're able to,
I think these two drafts, I mean, there are a lot of guys who are playing.
Right.
When you look at, basically every one of their picks from 24 are playing a lot, in different roles. And then I know this year they only had, four or five picks, five picks, I guess it was, and four of those guys are playing a lot. So you don't need to hit a home run with every draft pick, but you do need to build the roster in a way where your draft picks are sticking around and they're contributing, and you got them for 4 years. So, it's a matter of the guys who are step in as backups early on, can they eventually become a starter? The guys who are starters right away, can they improve on what they did year one to year two to year three? So, in just these two drafts that the Commanders have had, you're talking about probably, 10, 11, 12 guys who are suiting up every game and playing roles.
Yeah, it's obviously, I think it's easy for the fan, and I'm a fan myself when I say that, so I'm not putting myself above anyone. That's a really big deal, and I don't know if that part has been stressed enough when we've had conversations about their draft picks. I think people are looking at, who's going to turn into the blue chipper, Matt? Who's going to be the guy that you're able to draft and develop and turn into a blue chip prospect? I know the quarterback definitely is on that list, but just with the amount of playing time that those guys have gotten, I think they're just, it feels like, man, could we be getting a little bit more? And I think the other part is this. Like you said, not every pick is going to be a home run pick. You are still, to me, in the process of trying to build the floor of this roster.
Yeah. I mean, think about their first two picks in each year. You have a quarterback, which, we were talking a year ago or heck, 6 months ago, would have been knocked it out of the ballpark, right?
I mean, remains, but.
Yeah, it remains. And then, taking an offensive tackle late in the first round and Josh Connerly, if you can nail down those two spots, that's a good head start on where you want to go. And then, filling in some of the other spots, the defensive tackle.
That's the one that's received a lot of heat around here, if I'm being transparent, Matt. Just because the opportunity has been there and you just haven't really gotten it yet. But to your point, you have 4 years of this guy. Let's give it some time.
Yeah, and I would say that. I mean, I think at that position, it's a really tough it is a difficult position, and it doesn't show up necessarily because he's we're talking about Newton, right? He's more of a, he's not a pass rush threat, so I don't think his numbers are ever going to be, the pass rush numbers, the sack numbers are never going to be high, but that's not necessarily his job. His job is to be a dirty work kind of guy and, to make everybody around him better and allow the linebackers to roam free a little bit.
I think he's a good comparison to Drake Jackson in terms of what those two dudes needed to improve on when they got in the league. I think right now with Johnny, it feels like it's a play strength issue and playing with better technique and so on and so forth, though. But to your point, giving those guys time to develop is huge. I want to let you go on this. What was your outside opinion of the way that Washington handled the Terry McLaurin contract negotiation and then that kind of relative to what you've seen here in years past with the Niners and how they've dealt with their contract? Any similarities that you can draw, or do you think that had any influence?
From the outside looking in, always really difficult until you know, like, the personalities and how they mesh and everything else. I think you can play it both ways. I mean, there's part of me that always thinks, like, man, there's so many good wide receivers every year. I don't know that I would ever pay
They grow on trees, man.
I feel that way. Yeah. And you know, why pay a guy $33 million a year when, you know, you can, if you draft two receivers every year, basically, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I know teams do it, good teams do it, but I just don't know that that's the best place to be spending cap dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just speak from experience of covering the 49ers. You know, it's like, well, you know, when Deebo Samuel's contract was, you know, when they were talking to him about a new contract, it's like, well, he's a really important player on this team, but then you sign him and then, you know, the production drops off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, a year ago, Brandon Ayuk, you know, it's kind of like peer pressure, I think, around the league.
Right.
I think teams kind of look at teams and go, well, that's the going rate for a wide receiver. And whether it really makes sense or not, that's just how you go about it. And I would think that, you know, when you look at the way Kansas City did it several years ago with Tyreek Hill, it's like, I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, why do you have to pay a wide receiver that much money when, in my mind, that position is not nearly as impactful?
It's probably the deepest position group in the NFL, if we're being frank about it. Like,
yeah, and like every, like you mentioned, I mean, every year there are a ton of really good wide receivers that step into the league and are oftentimes productive as rookies. And there are other positions to me that correlates to wins and losses a lot more than wide receiver.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. Matt, we appreciate you giving us real quick on the way out, just a couple lines on this. In terms of the negotiating style that you have heard about in San Francisco with, you know, some of their marquee guys, like the Kittle deal took a little while. Bosa deal goes up to the wire. You had the stuff with Trent. Is that just business in the NFL, or is that a 49ers thing?
I think it's generally business in the NFL. I mean, I think deadlines spur action.
Yes. As we found out this summer, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll generally see this was a kind of a unique offseason for the 49ers where they got those deals done early. You know, they got Purdy done early, they got Kittle done early, they got Warner done early, relatively speaking. But, you know, when there have been other issues, you know, Brandon Ayuk last year, in the past, Deebo Samuel, you mentioned Bosa, even Warner and Kittle with their first contracts, or I should say the second contract that they did. I think it's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, the agent and the players, like, you know, the agent's thinking, well, we won't get our best contract offer until we push it right up against the deadline. And we'll, you know, it's kind of like a game of chicken with the team and the player agent. But I think generally speaking, you just see the number of deals that get done, you know, on the eve of training camp or even into training camp, early in the training camp. I think it's just kind of the way it's done around the NFL.
For sure. It's going to be very fun to watch the growth and development of Adam Peters here in the nation's capital. Hopefully, for my sake, Matt, it leads to some hardware here in D.C. Appreciate you giving us some time, as always, my friend.
All right. Always my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
301-230-0980 is the number. About a half hour left to go in the program. I'm going to play a little bit of NFL buy or sell before we preview Thursday Night Football and put a bow on this thing. Every time Thursday comes around, it is a sobering reminder how deep we are into the NFL season. Week number 11 in the NFL kicks off tonight. Jets and Patriots from Foxborough. Anytime I see a massive number like this, 12.5-point favorites right now, the Patriots. Anytime I see, you know, a massive number like this, I immediately begin to go, oh, all right, this game is going to be a lot closer than maybe we're anticipating. The Jets are bad. The Jets are bad. But they have won two in a row. Games against Cincinnati and Cleveland. They're on the road in Foxborough tonight. Then they're on the road against Baltimore coming up two weekends from now. But we'll get you a full-scale preview of that game before we get out of here. But the first thing that catches my eye is how big this number is. And then I instantly look at the schedule of the New England Patriots. They have the Bills and the Ravens down the stretch, the only two teams that I think should challenge them. And even if they lose both of those games, I think they win out. We're talking about a 13-win Patriots team here in year number one of Mike Vrabel. So, attaboy for that. I do want to get into some NFL buy or sell here as we are about to kick off week number 11. And I would say this about the landscape of the rest of the NFL outside of what we care about here in the nation's capital with the Commanders. It is going to be a super fun stretch run. I didn't mean to rhyme, but it did. Super fun stretch run of the NFL season. The final 7 weeks here. When you talk about the playoff standings in both the NFC and the AFC, the wild card races in both of those conferences are going to be really, really intriguing. The division races in both of those conferences are going to be intriguing as well. The AFC West is loaded right now with Denver at 8-2. They take on Kansas City this weekend. I fully expect Kansas City to bounce back and win this division. The Chargers are 7-3. You take a look at the division race in the NFC North with the Lions, the Bears, and the Packers, all with three losses. You look at the NFC West with Seattle, the Rams, and the Niners, you know, scratching and clawing. You look at the Ravens, now just a half game back in the Steelers in the AFC North. And then you look at Buffalo and New England fighting for the AFC East crown. It's going to be a very interesting finish to the season. So I thought we'd put some of those hot-button topics under the microscope here with buy or sell. So let's buy and let's sell.
You like to start?
We have this thing of where, like, you never get to start first.
Yes.
Which is tough. I hear that, but I do want to start.
I do
want to start this, though. There are some things that I'm buying. There are some things that I'm selling. I want to get your thoughts on each. I am buying the Seahawks as a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the NFC. I think they're a group that is legit. I think they're legit on both sides of the football, and I think them acquiring Rashid Shaheed at the deadline really makes them deadly. My only question mark with them is, are they going to get their running game going? If they do that, I mean, they're probably, to me, the biggest threat to Philadelphia outside of the Rams. The Rams, Seahawks, and Eagles, I think, toss up for me right now in terms of who's the best in the conference.
You have eyes, Linnell.
Yeah, I do.
You have eyes.
I can watch. I see things with these eyes.
Yeah. I'm buying the Seahawks as well. I think when you look at the NFC, they are definitely a top three team. Eagles, Rams, Seahawks. That's, you know, a different tier.
Yeah.
But offensively, they are clicking on all cylinders. That dude, Sam Darnold, I know the Vikings are regretting letting him go.
They look stupid.
But
yeah,
At the same token, I think they got him, and they got him for a bargain of a deal, 3 years for about $100 million. Like,
looks good. He's still only, what, $10, like 27?
He's like 28, 29.
Yeah, so.
So I think they, the next couple years for them, they are in a championship window because you have your quarterback that you have at a bargain of a deal, and then you can build around him. So, but I think the point that you raised about the run game is definitely something to monitor, just because in January, December,
you got to be able to do it.
You got to be able to run the ball.
Got to be able to do it. So they play the Rams twice down the stretch. They play them for the first time coming up on Sunday there in L.A. Can they beat the Rams?
In L.A.?
Oh, I just closed out the rundown. Yeah, it's in L.A., but like, even if it was in Seattle, I mean, I guess Seattle with the 12s, they got a home field advantage.
They can beat them. I think they'll split, to be honest. I think in L.A., L.A. will get them. Second time around, though, I think the Seahawks get them.
I think they have the pass rush as well as the front four to make L.A. one-dimensional and put it all on their offensive line and make Stafford drop back 40, 45 times in the game. And I think they'll be able to get home. That's a really intriguing matchup. It's probably the most intriguing matchup of the weekend.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think when you look at their front four, if they can generate pressure just with their four.
And play a bunch of coverage on the back. They got some dudes in the second.
I definitely think they can do that. But if they can't get home, oh, it's going to be a long day.
Next thing I am buying. I'm buying the Ravens winning the AFC North. I think they're Lamar's a difference maker for them, and Pittsburgh is trending in the wrong direction. Pittsburgh plays Cincinnati this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals beat them for the second time this year. Looking at the Ravens and what they're going to have to deal with in the stretch run of their season, I'm looking at some of the games coming up. I mean, this is the softest part of their schedule right now. Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers, Bengals, before finishing up with Patriots, Packers, Steelers. I could genuinely see the Ravens winning out. I can see the Ravens winning out, meaning they would have gone on a 10-game winning streak to finish the year. Who do they lose to? They're not losing to the Browns. They're not losing to the Jets. They're not losing to the Bengals. Pittsburgh can't rock with them.
Those conference games, you never know.
You never know. They got New England, Green Bay. Those are two toughest games to finish. I just don't know who beats this group. I think the Ravens, and their defense has actually gotten a little bit better. They're playing Kyle Hamilton in the box now. Packers are fraud.
I mean, they are, but
hint, I may
the Ravens' defense is terrible.
It's not, though. They've actually, the last couple of weeks, they've played a lot better.
Better.
When you think about, look at this four-game stretch, bro. The Rams, they held them to 17 points. They held Chicago, who's a high-octane offense, to 16 points. They held the Dolphins to 6. They held Minnesota to 19. Their defense, I feel like, is trending in the right direction. The big schematic change that people are talking about in Baltimore, they've dropped Kyle Hamilton down into the box, and you're seeing more of Malachi Starks, and this Alohi Gilman kid is playing good ball for them. Them dropping, though, Kyle Hamilton down in the box, I think, is the thing that's kind of changed things. Are Darius Washington still there? I mean, they got some dudes that is helping their defense improve. I'm automatically jumping ahead to free agency for a second. Travis Jones out of UConn is going to be a free agent this offseason. I want Washington to throw boatloads of money at him. Go get Travis Jones. But I like the Ravens. Buying them is not just winning the AFC North. I think they're a legit contender in the conference. Like, when it comes down to it, in a one-off game, you're taking the Patriots or you're taking the Ravens? I'm taking the Ravens.
I mean, they have the better quarterback, obviously.
So, it's – for a team that looks down and out, I don't think they're as down and out as people may make it seem, is how I will put it.
Okay.
We'll continue to buy things here, and then we'll sell in the next segment to wrap up the show before we preview Thursday Night Football. What else are you buying here?
I'm buying Jonathan Taylor as the league's MVP. Not Offensive Player of the Year. The league's MVP. And everyone wants to talk about, Saquon didn't win MVP, and he had an insane year last year. Yeah, you want to know the difference between Saquon and Jonathan Taylor, though? Jonathan Taylor is getting in that box. He had four games. He had four games.
If that's what he's doing.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, which is absurd.
Absurd. Like, he had 15. He had 15 touchdowns on the season already, eclipsing what he did last year. Saquon only had 13 last year. So I think if he goes for 2,025, 28 touchdowns, I don't see why he wouldn't be deserving of an MVP. And I understand it's a quarterback award, but Adrian Peterson won the league's MVP as a running back.
So I'm looking down the stretch here. Kansas City, Houston, Jacksonville, Seattle. So four good run defenses coming up. Where, my thing with Jonathan Taylor, the touchdowns is a real thing, but is he having a better year than Daniel Jones even though? Like, when you think about it?
Yes, he is.
Daniel Jones leads the NFL in passing yards.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor leads it in rushing yards, of course.
Yeah.
But you don't think
Is Daniel Jones leading the league in touchdown passes? He's leading in yards. Okay.
Yeah. But that's because JT's finishing off drives.
It doesn't matter, though. So guess what? Because look, Aaron Rodgers gets down to the 1 yard line, what is he doing? Throwing touchdown passes. He's not handing it off.
I mean, he's got he's got 15 passing touchdowns. So he's got as many passing touchdowns as JT does.
Exact rushing and passing.
I hear that. That's an interesting case. I think every time I look at the Colts offensively, even defensively, are they getting the credit that they deserve as a team?
No, they're not. Just because the last 3-4 years, they've just been so bad.
I mean, they're legit, bro. Like, you got Kansas City when you come off the bye. Their stretch run is going to be interesting.
Hey, I agree.
I have a hot take for you.
Okay.
You're not going to like this, bro.
So you're not buying, you're not buying JT for MVP.
I'm not buying the Colts.
You're not buying the Colts at all.
I'm not buying the Colts.
Because that's also who I was buying as a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
I just don't. I think this next stretch of play is really going to tell you. I can make a real strong argument that their competition has been boo-boo.
Okay.
Thus far.
But the thing, you want to know.
It's a good win.
And here's the pushback, though, Linnell.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing what they're supposed to do against those trash teams, those boo-boo teams. Blowing them out. They're not close.
They blew out the Titans.
You know, the Commanders, what we did last year?
Titans.
Went on, the last play of the game.
I hear that.
They're blowing these teams out because they can't compete with them. And they should have beat the Rams if it wasn't for A.D. Mitchell throwing the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Remember I said this. The Texans are going to catch them. You know, that's my Super Bowl pick. Do we have our – we got to find the doc that has our season predictions on.
Oh, my God.
Because I did call the Patriots, by the way.
Okay.
I picked them to win the division.
That's adorable.
I think the Texans end up catching the Colts.
Okay.
Stroud's missing another week this week. We'll see if they're able to continue to survive life without C.J. Stroud. They're 4-5, and their win last week was super impressive. They gave one away against Denver. They've got the Titans, the Bills, then they play the Colts in Indy, then they're at Kansas City, Raiders, Cardinals, Chargers, and they finish with the Colts. Their schedule is a little bit easier than what Indy has down the stretch. So I think they will get caught. That's just my thought. It'll be good banter for the show.
But Linnell, one last thing.
Yeah.
The Colts defense isn't getting the respect it deserves.
That's what I'm ninth in the NFL points allowed.
They just got Sauce and they get Mooney back after the bye. So I'm excited to see what that Colts defense looks like. Because even if the offense doesn't go out there and put up the numbers that they're putting up, the defense, if they go out there whole teams to 13 points. And your offense gives you 17?
Yeah.
That's a recipe for one of these difficult games that you say we have ahead.
Can we get Lou getting Mr. Franklin coming downhill a little bit more? Hey, I worry about their ability to generate a pass rush.
Did you see the fourth quarter? Did you see overtime against the Falcons? Yeah, he blew that center up.
Yeah.
Two plays later, get the sack.
They got to blitz him more. I think that I really know what I'm talking about. I followed him. They got to blitz him a little bit more, bro. I think it's because that's their best way to get after the quarterback.
Right.
I'm not – I like Latu.
You know ball, Linnell.
Latu's leading the team in sacks, but, that's – I think they're – and if you got Sauce, you can play a little bit more man.
Yep.
You can afford to blitz him more. It's going to be interesting.
You know ball.
Let's I'm going to give two more things that I'm buying before we get to the sales segment coming up on the other side of the break. I'm buying the Bears as an NFC playoff team. I know a lot of people feel like the Bears are fraudulent. I think they're continuing to get better. Caleb Williams has played as good a quarterback over the last 4 weeks as anybody in football. Their stretch, though, coming up here, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Philly, Green Bay, Detroit still. It's going to be very interesting is the best way that I would put it. But I am buying the Bears. I think they're an ascending team. I think Caleb is playing a lot better right now. And then I'll finish off with this. I'm buying the Patriots as the best team in the AFC right now. I'm buying the Patriots as the best team in the AFC.
Now go, just like you looked at the Colts,
the schedule,
strength of schedule, yeah. Go look at the Patriots and then get back to me.
Here's what I will say. I think they're more explosive offensively.
Okay.
Now the defense, I say the Colts is, I don't know, did you, this past, when they played Tampa, I mean, they lit Baker up, man. Like, Vrabel's, I don't know if Vrabel's the one calling their defense, but they've had some success on defense. They don't have a bunch of household names. But I like their group. I like the Patriots as the best team in the AFC. I think Trevion Henderson has a big part to do with that. His explosion here. You know, think about their offensive weapons, man. Pop Douglas, Kyle Williams. It's tough, man. We're going to sell some things coming up on the other side of the break. We'll wrap up buy or sell. We'll also get you a Thursday Night Football preview next here on the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Talk on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays. With the NFL and Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Continuing to buy and sell here to wrap up the show. We give you a Thursday Night Football preview coming up on the back end before we get up out of here. I'm happy to sell things because that means I get to put a dagger in some folks' takes, and I take pride in doing that. Can I tell you the number one thing that I'm selling? And I know people are not going to agree with this. I'm actually curious to see what Darius Dameron thinks about this, if I'm being very honest. Because I take pride, we all take pride, in our NFL takes here. Yeah, you know every time you walk in the studio and it's 6:45, you are now a part of the program. We're playing buy or sell right now. We've bought a lot of things. And I want to sell a couple of things. And when I was putting this list together of the things that I'm selling, the number one thing that I was so happy to put on this, I am selling the Buffalo Bills as a Super Bowl contender. So the number one thing that I'm selling is the Buffalo Bills as a Super Bowl contender. Their defense is just not good. Let's call a spade a spade. And I'll even take it a step further. Not only am I not buying the Bills as a Super Bowl contender, is there a chance they don't even make the playoffs? They're 6-3 right now. They're 6-3. Do they even make the playoffs? What would Josh Norman say? Do you even catch one ball? Are they going to make the playoffs? Do you think that the Bills are a playoff team? When you think about what they have down the stretch here, and I know you don't have the schedule in front of you, but I'll read it here down the stretch because it's interesting. You got Pittsburgh. You got Tampa Bay coming up first this Sunday, a game in which I don't think they win. Then you got Houston. That one's going to be a dogfight because C.J. Stroud presumably is back, and then they run the football. That's what they do. The Bills can't stop the run, so that's a toss-up. Then you got the Steelers, Bengals you'll beat. Then you got the Patriots, Browns, Eagles, and Jets. How many more wins are on the schedule for Buffalo? Because I'm picking them to lose their next two against Tampa and the Texans. I think they beat the Bengals. I think they beat the Steelers. I think they beat the Browns. I think they beat the Jets. That's four more wins. 10-7. Is 10-7 good enough to get them in the postseason in a loaded AFC?
That's tough. I just can't imagine not seeing the Bills in the playoffs.
It just doesn't feel – it feels unethical
almost. That doesn't feel right. But the way New England has got a chokehold on that division now, their only path is through the wild card, and it could get crowded. It could get ugly.
It's going to be interesting down the stretch. I am I may double sell here. I'm selling them as a Super Bowl contender for sure. I also may just be flat out selling them as a postseason team. Let's go get Unchie down the stretch. We were talking about this before the show. It is going to be very, very interesting to see how this playoff race shapes out in the AFC. I think your division winners are going to be this is where it gets interesting. I think, and Darius, you may love this too, and that you're going to think Anthony probably thinks I'm doing drugs or under the influence of alcohol. I think that maybe this has to do with this being my AFC Super Bowl pick. I think the Texans are about to dog walk the Colts in the division.
Whew, you're slightly crazy on that one. Slightly crazy. I do smell what you're cooking and why they can go on a run. When you have a defense that's that good and that consistent, has that many playmakers on it, I wish we drafted Kamari Lassiter, but that's a whole other discussion.
Whole other story. Just look at the Colts, their schedule down the stretch. Kansas City, Houston twice, Jacksonville twice. Jack's probably our buns. Seattle, San Francisco. It ain't easy. And when you think about who they've played to this point, like, they made the Falcons look like a good team on Sunday. And they're not. We all know they're not. You almost lost to a team whose quarterback finished the day. And I'm going to go make sure I'm double-checking this. He was either 12 or 28. And the Colts, y'all shouldn't have won that game. I'm saying y'all. Let me stop. Anthony, your Colts.
You were looking at Anthony when you said y'all.
Because he know who I'm talking about. Y'all, I mean, y'all, they shouldn't have won that game. They shouldn't have. I think they're going to go on a little bit of a slide here. They're not beating Kansas City 10 days from now. I think Houston gets them in one of those games down the stretch. And then the Seattle one, they're damn sure not beating Seattle. And the Niners may get you.
That's tough. That's tough sledding there.
I think this has a lot to do with me trying to hedge. Or not hedge, but...
They do have a tough schedule. And I will yield when I, you know, look at the schedule. But you're not taking into account the defense that they have over there. They're getting healthy now. They just got Kenny Moore back. They haven't had Darnell Mooney. You get Sauce, who also had a good game against Drake London. When they were matched up, he held them for two catches for 26 yards. Again, you have two CB1s on your team and Kenny Moe.
That defense gave up damn near 5 yards a pop this past week. To Atlanta, we'll get like Algier and Bijan are probably the best.
I mean, they also didn't have DeForest Buckner in there.
He didn't make the trip,
but guess what? After the bye, he'll be back.
Look at
you're not valuing this defense like I am.
I knew he went off Sunday, but looking at the box score, damn. 35 carries for 286 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah, good luck stopping.
Like John
that,
Taylor's
man.
OC right now. I will give you that. I don't know, man. I will say this. I am selling the Bills as a Super Bowl contender. I'm also low-key selling the Colts winning the AFC South still. I know that probably sounds crazy.
It's okay.
I'm also selling Drake May as MVP. Here's why. And it's not going to be Jonathan Taylor. The MVP of this league is going to be Matthew Stafford. I think when it comes down to it, they're co-favorites right now. I think when it comes down to it, I think the resume of Matthew Stafford is going to look just a little bit better than the resume of Drake May, simply because the teams that LA has to play down the stretch here, Seattle, Tampa, Detroit, Seattle twice rather, Tampa, Detroit, Atlanta still in there. I think Stafford's resume, because the numbers are comparable, I think his resume is going to just look better at the end because of the teams that they played. Stafford leads the NFL in touchdown passes. 25-2, Slim. You're not, dog, he's 37. And they weren't even trying to pay him this summer, which is crazy because what are they going to do this offseason? Because they're going to be right back at the table with even better numbers. Matthew Stafford's my MVP. There we go. We're buying, we're selling. We're going up to the top of the hour, so we do got a break here. My last thing that I'm selling, quickly selling the Chargers as an AFC playoff team. You know why. And then I'm selling the Packers as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And their three losses this year, the offense has failed, the defense has given up 16 or fewer points. They have an offense problem. They have a Jordan Love problem. I just don't think he's that good. I've always felt that way. Toyotathon's coming up, though, so we'll see what happens with Jordan Love. That is Buy or Sell. The third voice you heard there was none other than Darius Dameron, producer Grant Danny, weekdays 2 to 6:30 over on The Fan. When we come back, Thursday Night Football preview. Week number 11 gets underway tonight. 12.5-point favorites are the Patriots. I have a feeling maybe the Patriots get called out as frauds tonight. Maybe Justin Fields runs buck wild all over the Patriots tonight. Thursday Night Football preview next.
We'll put a bow on the show with a little Thursday Night Football preview. Jets and Patriots from Foxborough. New England, 12.5-point favorites. The way that the Thursday Night Football slate has gone this year definitely feels like the underdogs have been in all these games. You go back to the Cincinnati upset. You go back to even last week. Denver only beating the Raiders by 3 despite being pretty big favorites. We've just seen the upsets here on Thursday Night Football. I don't think we see one tonight. The big thing that I'm looking for, Jets have won two in a row. Justin Fields has been the starting quarterback for those two games. Can he prove at all down the stretch that the Jets should remain with him long term? I don't think there's anything he could do probably to be back next year with gangrene. Is his time as a starting quarterback in the NFL over? I think is the big question that I have, and I wonder if other folks out there are giving up on Justin Fields. Is it over? I hate to say it for a brother, man.
I mean, it might just be, or, I mean,
I don't think this is the right scheme and system.
I was about to say, maybe it's the coordinator.
Go be like, who do you think's got a better chance long-term, Anthony Richardson or Justin Fields?
Justin Fields at least has more experience as a quarterback. Anthony Richardson just isn't seeing it the way he should be seeing it.
Somebody should sign, because Matt don't got that many more years left. Somebody's got to go down to L.A. and get up with Sean McVay and try to salvage their career. I can only imagine what he could do with athletic freaks like that. Real quick, I'm going to go with the Patriots. We're all probably going to choose the Patriots.
You're going with the Patriots for real?
For real.
You don't want to go with the Jets?
I don't. Not at all.
You don't want to be a contrarian?
I don't even. You're probably in last.
This is the first time for once.
You're probably in last place anyway. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I think they moved to, what, 11-2 or 9-2?
9-2, sir.
Be crazy. 10 seconds left. Appreciate everybody joining the show. Thank you to Matt Maiocco. Thank you to Ant. Thank you to your calls. DOC, in with you tomorrow. I'm back sitting in for Chris Russell on The Chris Russell Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.